clap. Get excited. Amen. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Sounds a little hot up here. Am I a little hot? Yeah. Sounds a little different than it normally does. Getting better. Is that better? Checking. 1, 2. Check. Check mark. 1, 2. H-E-B. Walmart. Sounds better. That's getting better, Cam. Psalm 78. Has everybody found it? If you haven't, too bad. We're not waiting on you. Got things to do here. Psalm 78, verse 1. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come in the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Watch this. "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Now, how does this apply to tithes and offerings, you might say? Well, since giving is one of the things that God required of us, and by the way, if you're new, we always like to let people know that, you know, that visit here. We know a lot of people, you know, especially if you're new, you know, I don't know what church you go to. I don't know if you've been to church in 30 years. I don't know if you went last week. I don't know if your church preaches, you know, just a religious doctrine. At this church, we want you to understand that God wants you to be blessed. Our church preaches, and we're not afraid to talk about it. I was talking about a guy with it the other day when I was eating out while I was gone. You know, I like to meet strangers, right? You know? So I was sitting over there eating at the Outback Steakhouse, and there was a military guy at the bar, and I just went over there and sat with him, and I drank tea. coming from the heart of people who know those things. I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do, but I would never admit it. But he goes to a church where they preach the truth, and that's how it ought to be. And he's a military guy, and just got to sit down and know him. And he said he might come here when he comes. He's from Washington, but he might come here when he comes to San Antonio. His name is Jace, but if he ever comes, y'all say hello to him. You can't miss him. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, but anyway, if you're new here, we want you to be blessed, and we want you to know what the Word says about your prosperity and your tithes and offerings. And it's very important that you teach your children how to give. You know, giving is not something that everybody wants to do. You know, when you look deep, you know, think back when you were, you know, before you were a Christian, you know, when you were growing up, a lot of people, some people it just comes natural. They want to give. But some people grow up not giving because, you know, or they don't give at church because they always thought the church was after their money. Well, that's not the case. God told us to give, and he said, if you'll give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But teach your children how to give. Teach them how to, you know, find ways to give. Teach them how to find ways how to go out of their way to give to people. Giving is something that has to come from your heart, and you have to teach your children how to be that way. Don't let, you know, don't leave this earth and not teach your children the ways of the Lord. He says so that we could what? Have hope, that they might set their hope That's what tithes and offerings is. You're trusting that when you give, God will give it back to you. And that's what we preach here. When you give, don't ever be religious and think, well, if I'm going to give, I'm not going to expect anything in return, because that's absolutely foolish. God, that is not the God we serve. He does not operate that way. When you give, He will find ways to give to you. When you open your hand, He will open His windows. And them windows are not small. He has a mighty hand, so that we can set our hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now it says, set our hope in Him and not forget the works of God. Well, what are the works? Well, if you want to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, God created man, and then He did what? Gave them a garden. Let me tell you something. If you're not in real estate, let me tell you something. Real estate's important. That's the first thing God gave man was real estate. Wars are fought over real estate. God made man, and then He what? He gave. He didn't say, all right, you're on your own. He said, I'm going to give you a garden, and you got to take care of it. Everything in there is yours, except for one thing. The tithe, the tree. He said, that tree belongs to me, not you. He said, you can touch, eat anything in there that you want, but don't touch the tithe. That's what the tree was. Teach your children how to do this. Find a way. My kids, you know, sometimes my kid will walk up here to the jet. He'll walk up here and he'll put something in the offering bucket. I said, what did you put up there? He said, oh, I was just giving. And it'll be just, you know, it'll be way more than he makes, because he only makes, you know, Jet, what do you make a week? You know, not much, maybe $5. He's like, he said, I don't even know. I didn't know I was employed. When he washes the dishes. Now, my little girl, she'll rub your feet. Now, if y'all would like her to rub y'all's feet, let me know. She'll rub your back, you know. You just got to lay it. She'll get lotion out, rub your feet. Why? That's giving. Amen? Y'all all jealous right now, ain't you? You're going to be like, man, how can I get my kids to rub my feet at home? They know how to give, though. Teach your children how to give. You need to teach yourself. If you're not a giver, you need to teach yourself how to give. Amen? Read what the Word says about prosperity. And I'm telling you, you'll never go another day without money. God will make sure your bank account has money. Amen? Y'all come give a big round of applause today in Jesus' name. Hello. Why didn't you go to this one? This one's empty. That's not hers, huh? Where's the other one? She's not here, is she? That's right. Come on up. Susan is going to sing y'all a special.
I'm going to sing y'all my car song. Do you sing in the car? You sing in praise and worship in the car, and you're just getting it, and then somebody gets beside you, and you kind of, they go by, and you start getting it again. Well, this is my car song, and I just want to share it from my heart, and maybe it'll be your car song. Maybe you'll think of it tomorrow on your way to work. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, the sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, they join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Susan. It's pretty bold to go, a cappella? My car songs usually have background music because I like to turn it way up because I don't want to hear myself sing. Very good. Very good. Kids, you stays in, but the kids are dismissed. Big round of applause. Y'all clap for the kids. Hallelujah. First Kings chapter 5. The title of this message is Temple Building 101. Temple Building 101. About this time last week, I was in a horse trailer because I was in Washington. I had dropped off the Brazilian that y'all remember, João. That he went to the airport. Of course, he went to Canada to ride bulls for 3 weeks, and he's headed back home. But I was driving back home, and I was listening to the radio, and I heard this song that I've never heard before, and I was like, "Wow, That was an amazing song. And I just started listening to it. And of course, by the time I got to the horse trailer, I wanted to hear it again, so I had to Google it. And I didn't have much I didn't have any TV service in that horse trailer, and I didn't have much service on my phone, so I had to download it before I got there. But I replayed this song, I bet you, 100 times. And y'all all want to know what it is, don't you? It's Tremble by Mosaic. Tremble by Mosaic. If you want, you know, you're probably like, I've never heard that one either. But anyway, powerful song, very powerful. And I sent a text to Ricky, and I said, "Man, I could just, because music is part of your temple building. Music is part of building it's part of your growing spiritually, and it's very important." That's why the praise and worship in church is so important before we minister. It's very important that you get into the presence, or I should say, draw in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Very important that you just like Susan was doing, you know, that's her car song. I can't do those kind of car songs. I have to have the background music. So I let other people sing while I sing with them. But it's very important that you learn to do those things. It's very important that you learn how to bring the Holy Spirit into your presence and do everything you can to humble yourself and worship Him. Because I'm telling you, man, you can, you know, in 5 minutes in the presence of the Holy Spirit will change your whole future. Because you'll have plans, you'll have these ideas, and God will meet you in your presence where you are. And He'll say, don't do this, don't do that, but do this. And it'll change. It'll save you. 5 minutes in the presence of the Holy Spirit can change the rest of your future. So as I was reading, I don't know why I picked, you know, 1 Kings when I guess it was one of those situations where I just opened it up and I just wanted to read about the kings. And I got to the story of Solomon, and all of you probably know about King Solomon and how wise he was and everything that he had done and how amazing, he was on the earth and how wise he was and how people came from miles around just to meet him. You know, when you're that popular, people come from all over to meet you. They'll find you. 1 Kings chapter 5. And as I go through these points, if you're, taking notes, I'll give you the points as I go. I want to go through some of these things and show you how to build your temple before you, and for Solomon's sake, how he built his temple before he built the temple. And when I'm talking about temple, most of you guys are mature enough to understand your temple is your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And how you manage it determines, how much the Holy Spirit, comes to meet you. If you're not doing things to draw Him in, if you're not listening to worship music or you're not reading the Word or whatever, you're not giving Him opportunities to come and minister, because He wants to come and minister to you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to educate you. Because why? He made you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. So it is very important that we learn how to build our temple. And I had a revelation the other day while I was reading some of this and listening to the Holy Spirit, and I was thinking about the homeless, and I thought to myself, the homeless are homeless because they forgot to build their own home. And you're thinking, not their home. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking about their spiritual home, their temple. They're homeless because they did not build their home. They did not take time. They did not spend time learning God's ways of doing it. Because I'm telling you, when you do it God's way, He won't let you be homeless. He won't let you be brought down that low. He will take care of you, but you've got to do the things that He commanded us to do. Verse 1, it says, and Hiram, king of Tyre. Now, if you read up, let me go back before verse 1. If you read up, there were people that were, of course, sending, their servants and all these people to meet King Solomon. And in verse 1, it says, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. Now everybody knows King David. King David was a very respectable man. He was a soldier and a worthy king who lived for God and God only. So number one, if you're taking notes, Those that respect you will go out of their way to help you. King Hiram respected King David because of all the things that he did. Many of you know you're respected for the things you do. People know you and remember you for what you have done. If you're a homeless guy, not many people respect you, right? I mean, the things that you do in life will earn you. It will cause you to earn favor with people, and you will become respectable in the eyes of men. It is also possible that people will help you because of who your ancestors were. But know this: no matter why they respect you, do everything you can to protect that relationship. Everything. Cherish it and honor it, as with God also. Because I was thinking about God when I'm writing this. You've got to protect your relationship with God. There are going to be all kinds of naysayers and backbiters and people that complain. And they're going to try to infiltrate your temple. They're going to try to come into your house. You are the keeper of the door.
Amen.
Amen. You're the one that determines what comes in and what goes out. And if you don't protect that, they will come in willingly. And how many of you know that the ignorant and the obnoxious are very outspoken? Amen. They are not afraid to say, nor are they afraid to do. But the Bible says what? Be quick to listen and slow to speak. There is a reason God put that in there. The ignorant are very outspoken, and they are not afraid to infiltrate your temple. They are not afraid to come in and complain to you so that you can start complaining with them and start feeling like them. Protect your relationship with God. Honor God, and He will honor you publicly. God says, I will honor you publicly. So it's amazing. You don't have to. The thing about God, God is so amazing. He said, if you will honor me in private, I will honor you in public. You don't have to. I mean, remember when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, how they would go and they would make a public scene about their giving, and they'd make a public scene about their many sayings and their many words and their prayers and all that, that they'd put on a show. God says, if you will honor me privately, I will honor you publicly. God will go out of his way to make sure that you are honored publicly. You are brought up. I mean, that's what he did with Solomon. He took Solomon publicly all the way up. All the way to the top. Because why? He honored God privately with 1,000 offerings. And he met Solomon out there when he was offering his 1,000 sacrifices. Of course, now you don't think God, don't bring any dead animals here and sacrifice them on our altar. Amen. You don't have to do that anymore, okay? So if you are new here, we don't do that. Okay? We don't sacrifice cows and we don't shake the rattlesnakes. Amen. Feel free to kill any of them if you see one. Also, I wrote this down. This is very important. Also, be someone worthy of respect. If you're not a respectable person, get there. Amen. Wise ways create happy days. Be respectable. Man, don't be one of those that people look at you and like, my Lord. Wow, here he comes again. I was thinking about this the other day when I was teaching. I remember there was this, when I was coaching, this one particular athlete gave me some trouble, and her mom didn't like the way I was doing things. You know, you ever been there? And she said, you got to give respect to get it. And I'm like, oh, really? So is she the coach and I'm the player? Hello. You got to give honor where honor is due and respect where respect is due. That's out of order. I don't give respect in order to get. She gives me respect and I get it and I give it back. Amen. See, that's the thing about the enemy, is he'll try to make you think that it's the reverse. It's the opposite of the way God does things. That's why things are happening the way they are in America right now, because the enemy wants to do everything the opposite of the way God created it. That's why he has homosexuality. That's why we have debt. They think, well, how are we going to get America out of debt? We'll create more debt. Isn't that a smart thing to do? We couldn't run our houses like that, amen? Or we'd be homeless. The enemy wants to reverse and confuse and do everything the opposite of the way God created it to function. Be someone that is respectable. If you're at your job all the time, you're like, I don't get no respect. Nobody likes me, you know, and you're having to go from job to job and this to that. There's probably a reason why. And it's not always the other guy. It sometimes is, but it's not always the other guy. You've always heard me say it like this. Take a good look in the mirror. Amen. Like Michael Jackson used to say, y'all have heard me say before, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. That's where you should begin. Be someone that is worthy of respect. You're not going to get respect unless you're worthy of it. If you do not walk honorable and you do not respect your boss, what makes you think that he's going to automatically respect you? What makes you think you're going to stay there very long? Amen? Be someone that is worthy of respect. Verse 2. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. Does that sound familiar about Jesus? He says, I'll make your enemies my footstool, or your footstool. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Now, if you read that, you're thinking, man, that's pretty rare back in those times, because in the Old Testament times, there were always wars. There was always somebody. In the days of King David, there was always a battle. David was always having to sit there and say, all right, do I go down? How many do I take? What do I do? What do I take? Do I keep the spoil? Do I offer it to you, Lord? Do I get to keep all the spoil or some of it or none of it? We all know what happens when God said, don't take any of it, and somebody takes some. Amen? That's what I'm telling you. You got to follow the commands of the Lord. If God says go to battle and don't take the spoil, don't take none of it. Leave it. So number two is fight to create peace and order on every side of you. You've got to go to war with the enemy and explain to him that this ain't happening. You're not taking my money. You're not taking my house. You're not taking my car. And I will be respectable. I will be someone worthy of honor. You have to go to war with the enemy. Because I'm telling you, he goes to war with you every day. And whether you win or not is going to determine whether or not you're willing to fight. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord of my strength, who teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. The enemy is always going to be at war with you. You've always heard this said. You are not at war with people. You're at war with the enemies that are influencing those people. You are always going to be dealing with an enemy. You can make friends with an enemy. Words of love, words of compassion. Have you ever noticed that just touching someone on the shoulder and just, you know, how much that changes the whole atmosphere? Somebody you don't even know, total stranger. You could walk up to them and just put your hand on your shoulder and say, man, have a good day. But how many of you know it's just as important how you say what you're saying? Have a good day. That changes the whole atmosphere. An enemy can be turned into a friend with what? Your words. Or just sometimes putting a hand on their shoulder. People will start to respect you when they start seeing the love that you possess. If they don't see you possessing any love, then you won't. If you don't possess the love, you're not going to be able to give it. But when they see you giving something to them, and you don't have to. You don't have to pat people on the back. You don't have to tell them how great they are. You don't have to do those things. But it's like I heard a minister say one time, you got to learn how to talk to the king in a man. And you got to learn how to talk to the queen in a woman. Hold on. I just had to say that one. That's a good one. And you should pat yourself on the back for receiving it. Amen. You've got to learn how to talk to the king in a man. Remember the story in the Bible? I think it was King David. David had sent somebody to talk to some king somewhere, and he dishonored his servants. And David said, "I'm gonna kill him. I'll kill him. I'll kill his whole family. I'll kill his dog, his cat. I'm gonna kill him." And then guess what? The wife of that king came to him and said, "Whoa." She met him on the road to wherever he was going and said, "Whoa, king, everybody knows who you are." So what is she doing? She's talking to the king and the king. "Everybody knows who you are, David. Everybody knows how amazing you are and that you follow after a God that is like no other. You are a very respectable man." And from the words of that woman saved her husband. But when the husband died, guess what King David said? "Hey, would you like to meet me at Chili's this week?" Why? Because she talked to the king in him. Why? Because he was respectable. If he wasn't respectable, do you think she would have met him on the road? No. Fight to create peace and order on every side of you. God is a God of order. And think about this. It is hard to build your temple when you can't create peace around you. You can't go up when you're continually fighting horizontally. When you're always having to fight here, it's hard to go there. And if you keep fighting here and you don't know how to fight, you're going to go where? That way. You've got to learn how to fight horizontally. You've got to learn how to fight the enemy with your words when he puts thoughts into your head. God is a God of order. Clean your house, organize your house, and when the enemy tries to wrestle with you, you show him who the man is. Amen. I'm a king, and I'm a champion in wrestling. Amen. Our God will fight for you. He will eliminate the enemy around you when you give him permission and activate your faith through your mouth. And like I said a while ago, verse 4 sounds a lot like when God told Jesus, he said, when I make your enemies your footstool. In other words, when he creates peace, Jesus is going to come back when there's peace. It's going to be at war, but he's going to create peace instantly. He will make the enemy your footstool. Why? Because that is where the devil belongs. What does the Bible say? Under your feet. If you can't get the enemy under your feet, he's always going to be in your ear. And he's always going to be in your brain. And he's always going to be trying to confuse you. Because why? He is the author of confusion. It is absolutely ridiculous what is going on in our world and how they're trying to politicize every single thing that we're trying to do, that our president and whoever, local government, federal government, state government, it's always about trying to build up number one. Always trying to want to, they don't care about doing things the right way. They want to do things their way and benefit themselves. Why? Because the enemy has created confusion. That's why you're seeing people get beat up wearing Make America Great Again hats. It's like I heard Andrew Wilkow say the other day. He said, one day, those people are going to pick on the wrong guy. You think I don't know anybody in this church that's going to stand there and take it, amen? Especially in Whataburger. I mean, we go to Whataburger, by gosh, we're there to enjoy. I mean, that's a moment. We're not there to eat hamburgers. We're there to have a moment in time. And where I was this whole past 2 weeks, they don't have it. They don't have Whataburger up there. Very disappointed. I tried to minister to those people. I tried to Google Whataburger, and all it said was Texas. I'm like, well, I'm a long ways from there. Can't fly home and eat there. Verse 5. "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, He shall build a house unto my name. Number three. Purpose to build your temple. My friends, it is very important for you to make it a point to go out of your way to build your temple. Don't be one of those that just waits for Sunday to get your weekly ministry. God is not a once a week God. He is an everyday 24/7 God. And it's your responsibility to do it. This church does not preach the milk of the word only. We want you to be grown up because we want you to be spiritually mature, financially mature, career mature. We want you to know how to get to Solomon's level. We want you to all, heck, we want y'all to be millionaires, amen? Now, if y'all don't agree with that, there's something wrong with you. You should want to be there. I want you to be millionaires. I want to hear of the testimony. I want to hear of the miracles that you experience while going there in your career, in your finances, in your whatever. I want to hear of the miracles. We got to be people that live daily in miracles. Purpose in your heart. No one builds anything until they purpose to do it. We will go out of our ways to make sure that the tile is right in the bathroom when we build a house, or that we have, you know, the right amount of square footage, or, you know, when we go to build something or a barn or whatever it is, or go buy a car. We always go out of our way to make sure we get the right one. God is asking us to go out of our way to make sure we do things the right way, His way. And not many Christians study. My friends, read it, learn it, study it, set a goal like I did. It took me a whole year to do it. Read the Bible all the way through. You may not, you know, you're not going to be able to memorize all of it, but at least it'll be in here. It'll always be here. Once it goes in the eyes, it's always going to be in here. You may not be able to recall it. Like I heard some religious guy, fanatic one time, trying to teach. He came and tried to tell me that, you know, Moses' law was the way to heaven. And I'm like, you're a fool, man. You're crazy. Why would you? Well, who was Jesus then? I'm like, are you serious? You believe that that's the way? And then I asked him, I said, do you love everybody? He goes, no, I don't. I'm like, whoa. You sound like that other religion. They likes to kill people and crash planes into buildings. How foolish. And I started quoting scripture, and he goes, you don't even know where those are. I said, do I need to know where they are? I said, man is the one that created these books and put chapters in them. You don't have to know exactly where they are. You just got to know what it says. Man put chapters in the book so we could find them. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. That's a lot of pages to go through. Like, where did I see that? We have books and we got chapters and we got verses. Thank God. He goes, you don't even know where these scriptures are, and you're quoting them. I was like, I don't need to know where they are. I know what they say, and that's what's important. You need to know what they say. They need to be in your heart. You know, it's amazing how when people go through stuff, they start reading the Bible. And they start trying to read all the stuff that pertains to what they're going through. If you would have been reading it before, you wouldn't be going through it. Amen? You got to read it before you get there. Don't wait till you have financial problems to read about finances and what the Bible says about finances. Don't wait until you lose your job or lose your car or lose your whatever. Don't wait until you go through the hardship to try to read what God says about it. Be way ahead of the devil. Amen? Verse 6. Now therefore command thou, he's talking to Hiram, King Hiram, that thou hoe me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hoe timber like unto the Sidonians. He knew who was qualified. So number four, I believe. Recognize who is qualified to help you. Do not advertise your problems. Do not tell everybody what you're dealing with. Don't tell your problems to anybody other than the ones that are qualified to help you. I don't know why in social media people find it so easy to advertise their problems. Why? First of all, why would you want people to know that you're having to go through that? Because when they know that you're dealing with that, that's all they're going to remember. That's going to be the last thing they remember about you. And until you put something on there again that says, man, it's wonderful. Man, I'm doing great. They're always going to think you're that guy that was dealing with blah, blah, blah. Or you didn't like what somebody said. Or you told your boss off. Or, you know, you lost your car. Whatever. Recognize who is qualified to help you. Know who to confide in. And I'm telling you, one of the most important things in confiding in someone is what? Confidentiality. That's why it's called confiding. If they're going to advertise your problems, I'd never go to them again. Amen? Recognize who is qualified to help you. Growing spiritually will require you to look for wisdom in others. Solomon knew who was qualified to cut down the cedars and establish them and fine-tune them and make them perfect. If you want a Toyota, you don't go to the Ford house. Amen? You go where they sell Toyotas. You don't go to McDonald's when you want Whataburger. Amen? You go to the people who are qualified to make the burger. You go and you inquire from those that are qualified. I'm going to go to a few other scriptures. I want to show you something that's very important. And I want you to never forget this. Books are purchased for wisdom. Why do people buy books? Well, because they want to know what the guy, you know, that wrote them, they want to know what he says about it, about whatever it is you're inquiring about. Watch what Proverbs chapter 17, verse 16 says. If you want to write that down, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 17, verse 16 says, in the Amplified, it says, of what use is money in the hand of a fool to buy skillful and godly wisdom when he has no understanding or heart for it? When a fool has money and has no heart to purchase wisdom, what good is the money in his hand? A minister once said that you can purchase a whole man's testimony for $15. There are books back there that are $2. You can purchase a man's life who spent his life studying and understanding that one particular part of life, whether it's finances, whether it's how to build a retirement, real estate, whatever. You can buy a whole man's life for $2, $15, and don't ever complain if the book's $100. Man, you're buying a man's life for $100 and all the wisdom that comes with it. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Watch what it says here. I bet y'all never thought of this way. Watch what it says here. First three words are, buy the truth. You're saying, buy? Yeah, it says buy, purchase. Buy the truth and sell it not. Not only that, but also get discernment and judgment, instruction and understanding. Did you know you can purchase wisdom? Yes, wisdom is in the Bible. It's full of wisdom and revelation. But every problem you're going to have in life is going to be a wisdom problem. Dealing with people. If the people that you're around and you're having a hard time dealing with those people, you could be the lifesaver. You could be the one that salvages that relationship if you have enough wisdom to put your hand on their shoulder or to show them that you do care about them. Wisdom can be purchased. That's why we have books. That's why we have library. That's why we have, you know, the library of, what is it? The Library of Congress that, you know, that preserves all of our special documents that says who we are as a nation. You can purchase wisdom. That's part of the temple building. Find a book That's like, I mean, when I first moved here, I had no interest in reading the Bible, and I was saved, and I was not a preacher, and I wasn't going to church. But I started getting this interest in wanting to learn more about God, but I didn't want to read the Bible. So I did what? I bought books about the Bible written by other authors. And that's how I started to build my temple. And I didn't want to read the Bible, so I watched TBN. And I watched ministers on television. Why? Because I didn't want to read it for myself, but I wanted to hear what somebody else had to say about it. You can get tons of wisdom in a 30-minute sermon. And you don't even have to pay to come to church. Amen? Maybe we should start charging at the door. No, we would never do that. All God wants from you is the love that's on the inside of you, and that love creates giving. You coming here is a great start. Even if you didn't believe in giving. That's what I always tell people who don't want to come to church and they don't believe in giving. I'm like, fine, keep your money, but come to church. Keep your money. Don't feel obligated. Buy wisdom. Build your temple. Proverbs 18:18 says, a man's gift makes room for him. Don't ever forget that. A man's gift, the gifts that you have on the inside of you, the gifts that God gave you. He says, a man's gift makes room for him, and it will bring you before, your gift will bring you before kings. What you possess is what God gave you. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever forget that you have to build your gift. It's the same as building your temple. Whatever you're gifted to do, build it. We will go out of our ways to learn how to be better bankers, be better, you know, bookkeepers, to be better carpenters, to be better house builders. That's the gift that you have. But don't forget that God is the one that gave it to you. And God will make room for you, and he will bring you before kings. Build your temple. Read about it. If you don't know about cars and you want to be a car salesman or a mechanic, get the Mechanics for Dummies. Is that the book? They've got a book for dummies, for everything. Verse 7. Let me get back here. Verse 7. 1 Kings. And it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. So number five, when you speak wisdom, people will rejoice over you and they will consider you. When you speak wisdom, people will be excited about the wisdom that you... Man, when you're a goofball and an idiot, nobody wants to be around you, do they? But when you speak wisdom, they will go out of their way to call you. When you possess something that they want, they will sit at your feet, won't they? They will sit and they will learn, and they'll pay whatever price it takes. People will rejoice over you. You want people rejoicing over you, right? Amen? You want people to be excited to be in your presence. You want people to light up when you walk into the room, not frown. You want people to be excited. And when they have a problem with something that you know and that you are gifted with, they're going to call you. They're not going to call you if you're an idiot. Amen? They're not going to call you if you're ignorant, if you're not learned in the ways of the Lord. When people think of you, do they consider all you've done right or all that you've done wrong? Man, you might need to write that one down. I don't know, I'm just saying. You might need to write that one down. And I guess it really just depends on the percentage. I guess it depends on the percentage of rights and wrongs that you've done. What do people think about when they think of you? chapter 6, verse 11 as I close. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon." This is Solomon talking with the Lord. He said, "Concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father." Number 6, if you're taking notes, if you will do, God will do. If you will do, God will do. The good thing about God is it says that he will perform. How many of you want to see God performing? I mean, it ain't like going to the circus. I mean, when God does something in your life, it is absolutely 100%. You cannot even question whether it was God or not. When God performs, it is unforgettable. You'll never forget it. I want to read you something as I close here. In chapter 4, verse 26, I want to read you how amazing Solomon was in all of his glory. "And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon. All for that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing." I want you to remember that one scripture right there. If you're taking notes, I want you to remember something. Bring provision for the king. If you have to write that down, you can get your own revelation on that if you want to. I relate it to giving. But verse 27, provide for the king. Whether it's the tithe or whatever, however you want to get revelation on that. It says in verse 27, "Those officers provided victual for the king, King Solomon. And for all that came into King Solomon's table and every man in his month, they lacked nothing." They lacked nothing. "Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries or whatever, however you say that word, brought they unto the place where the officers were, even every man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and He-Man." You remember He-Man? "He-Man and the masters of the universe." That's not him, by the way. Y'all don't remember that movie, do you? That show? Okay. It was a cartoon when I was growing up. "And Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He wrote 1,005 songs. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which heard of his wisdom, even the queen of Sheba." They were so amazed at how wise Solomon was and how he had built himself. He built his temple before he built the temple. They were so amazed at it. I'm telling you, boy, when you're wise, you'll be one of the richest people around. People will pay to come talk to you. You have to pursue wisdom. Wisdom is not going to come to you. You've got to pursue it in the same way that you pursue your careers. Everything that you pursue to do in life or that you want to be great at in life, you have to pursue wisdom the same way you pursue those things. And if you do, and if you follow through, as God was saying in chapter 7, he says, "Solomon, you will always have what you have. You will always be what you are. And you will always be able to do what you do if you will do my statutes and my commandments. And you follow through." Now, we all know what happened to King Solomon. He didn't do all those things forever. He backslid and lost everything. everything. He started worshiping other gods on the mountain. They'd make little places, you know, and they'd make vines, and they'd have these big, nice worship centers, worshiping the god of the sun, or the god of the fish of the sea, or the god of the whatevers. He said, but if you will do, he said, I will do. Bring provision to the king. God does not need your money. He doesn't need your stuff. Your tithe is nothing more than I am going to honor my God. It is recognition of a debt that Jesus already paid. Your tithe and your offerings, or whatever it is that you want to consider provision for the king, you're honoring God. It's your honor. It's your knowing that it's your understanding and knowing that he knows everything. That he is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. You know, God's not so big. If you're new here, I want you to understand something. I don't know what, you know, where you come from or what your religion is. I want you to know that God is not too big for your problems. I don't know who needed to hear that. But there are people that think that their problems are too small for the God we serve. If you think your problems are too small for God, then you obviously think that God is not big enough to handle them. Because our God is able to handle the big ones and the small ones. He's able to handle the big problems that's happening at the federal level, or the national level, or the world level, or the universal level. He can handle the smallest. I don't care if it's an ingrown toenail. I remember when I was playing football in college, our athletic trainer, he gathered us all up and he said, I don't care if your pinky toe has a blister, you come tell me, because it's going to affect your performance. He was right, right? You get a blister on the pinky toe, don't you limp a little bit? Small things matter. God cares about your little bitty problems. But if you will build your temple, the little problems won't matter anymore. You won't care. You'll move on. You know, you'll bring your problems to the Lord as you always do, but you're not going to be moved by them. Don't be moved by the small problem. I don't care if it's the IRS coming after you. It's going to pass. It's never as bad as it first appears. Amen? It's never. What are they going to do? Can they kill you? They can't kill you, right? That's in the Constitution. Right to freedom, right to life. They can take everything you have, but you still have air in your lungs to worship the Lord. Build your temple. And I want you to learn something. I want you to know this. You need to take reading the Word, or reading the books about the Word, very serious. Get serious about it and start educating yourself. Don't wait until Sunday to come get your weekly ministry. Don't do that. Be grown up. Be mature. Be the kind of person that when God looks down and says, now I can take that guy or that woman and I can use them right over here. Don't be the person where he looks down and says, man, he got to grow up some more. She got to grow up some more. I can't use her. Be the person that when God looks down from his universal heaven, that he says, now I can use that person. He looked at King David and said, I can use that man. King David was a worshiper. King David knew something about God that most people only know after Jesus. He knew that God was a God of forgiveness. I mean, he stole Queen, Bathsheba, and sent her husband into to fight on the front lines. That's pretty sorry. That's pretty rotten, wasn't it? But David knew that God was a God of forgiveness. He knew he could appeal to the Lord and say, I know I messed up. And God used him. Even after all that, he still used David. Now, he couldn't build the temple because he had blood on his hands from, so much war. Like Solomon said, there was war. And God told David, he said, you won't build my temple, but your son will. And Solomon did a good job. until he backslid. Learn to build yourself. Take it serious. Educate yourself. I mean, if we're going to spend so much time educating ourselves on our job, why couldn't we do it for God? I'm telling you, God, if you spend 5 minutes with God, he will teach you things that your job can't teach you. And you'll make more money than you ever thought about making. Amen? And I know none of you here don't want that. Everybody wants that. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We are all temple builders. Some of us build better than others. Learn to build. But if you're not saved today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're not going to know how to build your temple God's way. If you don't know God's ways of doing things, and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you're not going to know how to build your temple God's way. There is a way to do it and a way not to do it. God is a God of order and very, very specific about his way of doing things. So if you're not saved today and you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, today you have an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to embarrass you or ask you to come to the front or anything like that. All I want you to do is pray a prayer with us. And by praying this prayer and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I believe you will, when you leave this earth, you will go to heaven and not hell. There's only two options. You have heaven and hell. And I believe if you pray this prayer and you mean what you say, that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth, or if the rapture happens or whatever. If I were you, I would take Jesus very serious, and I would take your salvation is the most important thing on the earth. The most important thing. Not your job, not the kind of car you drive, not how smart you are. Salvation, your eternal salvation is the most important thing. So I want you to know that Jesus is your Savior. If you want to get to heaven, if that's you, I want you to pray a prayer with us. And I believe if you pray this prayer that you will receive Jesus as your Lord. And I want you to believe it. If you don't believe it, it ain't happening. Mean what you say. And we're all going to pray it with you. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, are my Savior. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, all I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand and let me know that was you. And by raising your hand, you're saying, I prayed the prayer, I meant what I said, I received Jesus for the very first time today. If that was you on the count of three, just raise your hand. I just want to see who you are on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Is there one? No? Okay. Don't see any? Okay, cool. All right, look at me. All right. Temple builders. We got to be good at temple building. Amen. Let's get creative. Be smart. That's what I tell my kids every day when they leave, go to school. Be smart. Make good decisions. There's lots of idiots there. Let's try to teach them how to be smart. Amen. I mean, don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. There were a lot of goofy suckers at school, and we were some of them. We all did something wrong, didn't we? A to the men. We're going to baptize today, and I think everybody's here. By the way, if you want to go change clothes, you can do that right now if you'd like. If not, you know, wear what you got. I don't care. You know, this is a very important day for you. We do have certificates for you because it's a very important day. God takes this very, it was so important that when Jesus got baptized, God wrote about it in the Bible. It was very important, very special day. So if you need to go change, go do so. I want to honor Tom Powell, my Lord, 90 years old. Woo, man.